Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome once again to this communion celebration service. We do share this special time with everyone here and with everyone watching online. I have just a few announcements. Of course, we are very happy to hear that Pastor Voth and Sharon, Pastor Porter and Diane, Chuck Teelberg, Brad Meyer, Kathy Vermaes are continuing to improve. We care very much for Deb Simpson and all the others that we do name in our hearts. We send our greeting to all of you, and we continue to pray for all of you. As well, we hold Tammy Abel in our prayers. I spoke with Peg Abel earlier, and Peg, is there an update? I saw in the bulletin that she's back in Rochester.
No, she's at home, but she is doing better. She has to get stronger, and within a month they go back again, and she has to do a 6-minute walk. And then if she does that, which she's going to, they'll put her on the call list.
Very good, very good. God bless 6-minute walks, right?
Yeah.
Today we are blessed to have Dean Ramsey share the message with us. We welcome President Ramsey to the podium, and I know he wants to say something now about Pastor Voth. Is that correct, Dean?
I'll say it when I get up there.
All right. Is there anything else we need to talk about? I do want to go over communion notes. It is a repeat of what we always remind ourselves of. All who believe in and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome to share at our communion service at Harbor of Joy. Also, if you wish to be served grape juice instead of wine, simply hold your hand out to the server with your palm down, and the server will provide you with grape juice. Communion is served at 2 stations, at the rail and at the floor station. Know that you are welcome to kneel and pray or meditate as long as you like at the rail. When all is prepared, the ushers will guide you forward. And if you would like to be served at your seat, please let the ushers know, and we will be happy to bring communion to you.
Thank you.
We begin our communion service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we take a moment in silence to confess our sins. We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son, who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. We praise your name. Amen. And I would ask you to join me in prayer. Lord God, we are people who usually like routine. We like to know what to expect, and because of that, we often simply go through the motions of the activities we are used to. May we never, though, allow ourselves to be routine or complacent when it comes to communion. As we experience the body and blood, may we always be in awe, respect, and complete gratitude for the love that led to the sacrifice of the Lamb. And may we never misunderstand and think that this special time with Christ is only for perfect people, for other people we know, and not for us in our sinfulness, when in fact, it is especially for each of us as individuals. Lord, of course, we were not even living then, but you knew we would someday need you as we do. And so you gave everything you had, so that every person from that moment on could share eternity with you. We cannot even imagine that we are worthy of your sacrifice. But you believed we are worthy, and so with great humbleness, great thanksgiving, and great praise, we give our love back to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I can see it now with open eyes.
And the scripture reading Dean has chosen for this morning is Genesis 6, 5 through 22. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, "I'll wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them." But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof of an opening of 1 cubit high all around. Put a door on the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you. And you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you, 2 of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them." Noah did everything just as God commanded him.
Well, I can tell you this much. This is a first for me. There used to be a country western song that said, "If you could only see me now." Well, if all my old friends could see me up in front of the church, I think they'd probably be shaking their head. But I kind of chose this passage today. Well, before I get into that, I should give an update on Tim and Sharon. Pastor's getting better, and he's starting a walking routine to build up his strength. And he hopes to be starting to come back to church an hour or two a day this coming week and just gradually try to build his strength back. The one thing we don't want to do is to rush him into this so he has a relapse, but we'll leave that up to Pastor. I do have ministers lined up for the whole month of February. Unfortunately, I couldn't find one for today. After 25 calls, I finally give up and said, "Well, Cheryl, you're going to have to give the sermon." Well, it didn't work that way, and Gloria's did such a wonderful job, but she's got the Joy Kids now, so I didn't want to ask her, and So I guess you're stuck with me for today. And I picked this topic today as, I gotta take my glasses off because I can't see you now, but I can see my notes. My lesson today is I wanted to look into what makes God smile. Because I was thinking with all the trouble and everything going on in the world right now, if I was the Lord looking down, I don't know if I could put a smile on my face. I think of all the differences that we seem to generate from this side of the politics to that side of the politics, to wearing a mask, not wearing a mask. And it just seems like there's so much controversy going on now. So I decided I want to find something that makes God smile. And I always turn to Rick Warren in Purpose Driven Life. Well, I started and I got it all worked up Friday night, and then I worked on it last night again. And right before Cheryl went to bed, I says, "You gotta listen to this sermon." So I started in on it, and she looked at me and said, "You can't do that." And I said, "Why can't I do this?" "Well," she said, "you're plagiarizing Rick Warren." And I said, "Well, it's 10 o'clock. What am I supposed to do?" "Well," she said, "revamp it." Well, I'm a little bit like my daughter used to be when we went out to a meal. I'd say to her now, "Order what you want. Don't be taking off my or mom's plate." Well, it never failed. About after 2 or 3 minutes, she's looking at you and she wants what you want. Well, that's the way the sermon was. After I got started, I got looking and said, "No, I want to do it a different way." So I decided that I wanted to talk about Noah because he was the one that made God smile. And if there was any man that was put under extreme pressure and dealt with the problems, it was Noah. And Becky read us the story of Noah, so, but Noah's story to me is way more than the ark. It's about the man. This is a story about a man that loved God so much that he would do anything to please him. This is what God wants from each and every one of us. He wants us to please him, and he wants to be able to look down with a smile on his face and say, "Boy, them guys at Harbor, they're going the added mile for me." God made man so he could have fellowship with us. Jesus called it the greatest commandment. He said, "Love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." God smiled down upon Noah, and he smiles down upon us when we trust him completely. Noah trusted God when it made no sense. I wonder what our lives would be like if we trusted God like this. Put yourself in Noah's position. Here God tells him to build an ark. And I would guess Noah's first response was, "What's an ark?" Because you got to remember, at that time, there was no rain. I didn't realize this. I had heard it before, but I kind of forgot. There was no rain before the flood. So what do you need a boat for if there's no rain? Plus, Noah lived hundreds and hundreds of miles from the nearest water. And God comes to Moses, and he spared Moses, Noah, and he said, "I am going to destroy mankind. I am tired of their wickedness and everything that they do." So he gives Noah the impossible task of building this boat and rounding up two of every animal and bird to put on it. Well, let me tell you, and I'm sure Jack Johnson, and there's probably a few of you others in here, know what it's like to round up animals and put them on a in a corral, let alone try to put them on a boat. And Moses, he never doubted God. He did just what God wanted him to do. Can you just imagine what Noah went through? But trusting God like Noah means having the faith that God knows what is best for your life. Imagine how discouraged you must have felt. You know, it said it took 120 years to build the ark. So if I had something sitting around in my front yard for 120 years, I'm sure my wife would be on my case. And can you imagine the ridicule that your kids got? Because what is your dad doing building that boat? So what Noah had to go through was extreme. But Noah never wavered in his love for God. He just did exactly what God wanted. But God, trusting God like this brings up a sticky point. Not only must we trust God, but we almost obey him wholeheartedly. As in Noah's case, God didn't say, build any old boat. He gave Noah detailed instructions as to the size, shape, and material to use. Noah did everything exactly as God commanded. It is no wonder that God smiled down on Noah. Imagine what our reaction would be if God asked us to do something like this. Just think if he said to Dale, I want you to build a dome over the parking lot so the Joy Kids has got place to play. Or he says to Norma, you need to feed the hungry in the lakes region. Or he might say to Dina, you need to start up a daycare and take care of the kids so the parents have a place that they know they can go to and they're safe. And I think we'd all think back and say, how are we supposed to do this? But that is kind of, in a way, what God asks us to do. And too often, and I'm the most guilty one of it all, we offer partial obedience. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone, so I will, oh Lord, I'll teach this class, but don't make me lead a daycare. Or Lord, I'll build a room for them, but I can't build a whole dome. So that is part of the problems we run into now. But God smiles down on us when we praise him and thank him continually. Noah's first act upon when he reached dry land was to build an altar, and he offered burnt offerings to Christ, to God. But we don't have to sacrifice as Noah did. Jesus was our sacrifice. I got my pages stuck together. I guess this is a good time to have that happen. But it's amazing things that happen after we pray to give thanksgiving to God. Our own hearts are filled with joy, just as God is filled with joy by watching us. And Rick used an example in Perfect Driven Life about going to his mother's place and having lunch. And she loved to cook, and she got the joy from cooking for him. And Rick says, I love food, I got the joy of eating. So, and I kind of thought back to my own mother, and she wouldn't let you come in the house without having lunch. And you wanted to, when you left, you had a good and warm feeling. And that's the same way it is with God. If we do what God wants us to do, it gives us a good feeling too. God smiled down when he gave us all our different abilities. Just as Noah used his talents to build the ark, we need to do something that we feel that the only time God is speaking to us is when he wants us to do something. Like read the Bible, attend church, pray, share your faith, and in some people's case, get up and attempt to give a sermon. But instead, God enjoys watching every aspect of our lives. Just as we are parents, you know, I got thinking about that, how God watches us. And I remember the joy of watching our kids when they were little and they laid them down and they finally went to sleep. And just the peacefulness, and it always brought a smile to my face. And I think God's the same way. He watches us, and when we're content, God is happy. Every other activity other than sin can be done for God's pleasure. Whether it's washing dishes, being a salesman, computer programmer, farming, working at a factory, if we do it in our heart with all the glory of God, God enjoys watching us. He smiles down at us when we use the talents that he gave us. God intentionally made us all a little different. Imagine what the world would be like if each and every one of us had the same talents. It would be like robots. But instead, one of us might have tremendous skills when it comes to reading and comprehension, others mathematical skills, others carpentry skills. So God gave each and every one of us a different skill. And in closing, I want to say that God is just, we're just like God in one way. God loves watching our spiritual growth. And I strongly recommend anybody that's haven't been in a Bible study to find a good Bible study to join, because it just is a one more step in your spiritual growth. God looks at our attitudes and in our hearts. Are we like pleasing God? Are we making pleasing God our deepest desire? Or are we just giving him a halfway of ourselves? God is looking for people like Noah. People who don't want to live for, people who want to live for the pleasure of God. Will you make pleasing God the goal of your life? There is nothing God won't do for the person totally absorbed with this goal in life. I sincerely feel that each and every one of us can use our God-given talents to make Harbor of Joy the wonderful place that it is today, but I know that we can make it even better. And when we do this, I can't imagine the big smile on God's face when he looks down at Harbor and says, them people are wholeheartedly doing my work. So I want to thank you for listening to me, and I would like to close with a brief prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so very much for the people that has attended today or watching us on the camera. God, these are dear friends and fellows that worship you and want to follow you. Lord, give us the guidance to do what you command of us, and even when it's inconvenient for us and not right, Lord, help us just to say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So in Jesus' name, who gave everything for us that we may have an eternal life, Jesus took all our sins away. Lord, thank you so much for this gift of grace, and bless Harbor of Joy and bring Tim and Sharon back to us real soon. Amen.
Please stand for the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of faith, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Can you hear me?
No.
Can you hear me? Yes. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. He broke it, and after having given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner, after supper, he took the cup. He blessed it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink, all of you, from it. Do this in remembrance of me." All is prepared. The servers, please come forward.
Jesus, I have prayed.
saved her.
Please stand and join the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And our benediction this morning are familiar words of reassurance, blessing, and promise. And I encourage each of us to repeat these to ourselves all week long. They are words we all know from the 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.